Well, this is the last week in our series about finding your love languages in life and in worship. Last week, we talked about acts of service and how there is a bit of a difference between joyful service and grumpy service. Next week, we will start a series looking at Nehemiah, and we'll see how he was able to dream of a better future and then rally the people to make it happen. And maybe we can do the same here. This week for Music Dedication Sunday, we are looking at the final love language in life and in worship, which is words of affirmation. And I think that whole phrase is important. Words. That means that unless it has been spoken, it has not happened yet. A shoulder massage is nice, but that is either physical touch or acts of service, not words of affirmation. And then make sure the words you speak are actually affirmation. Praise, positivity, gratefulness. We're going to hear about the power of positive words in Romans chapter 12. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, and he had not met them personally, so he wanted to put a lot of his theology into this letter so they would know who he was and what he believed coming straight from the horse's mouth. Romans chapter 12. So we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. So let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, and bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. And do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. So do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, do you have, like what are some of your earliest memories from your early childhood? For me, I don't have a lot of early memories, but for me, one of the earliest and strongest memories that I have is from kindergarten. I had a pet rabbit that I brought to show and tell day, and I was simultaneously very proud and very nervous that the rabbit would escape. And so I alternated between being, you know, generous and being mean about who could hold and pet my rabbit. For some strange reason, I think this was totally random, I tended to be generous with my friends and mean with those I didn't like as much. I think that was random, or maybe I just associate with the responsible people and those others are rapscallions, you know? So why do I remember this so strongly and very little else from the kindergarten year? I think that's because this is the thing I wish I had done differently. And my brain quickly erases whatever was good and etches indelibly on my mind whatever I think I could have done better. And so if I don't remember it, it must have been pretty good. So this has been helpful over the years because it gives me, you know, like a growth and development mindset. Maybe some year, it'll be so good, I won't remember anything for the entire year. That'd be like the peak of the mountaintop for me, a great year. That's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but my mind definitely hones in on the negative, the opportunities for growth and change. For instance, I was just the featured speaker at a fundraiser for our son Charlie's special needs camp, and the main thing I remember is that I cleared my throat a little too close to the microphone, and it picked it up. I don't remember the 15 minutes of people tracking me down to tell me, you know, that the speech moved them, but I will remember the throat clearing for the rest of my life. And so I'm a big fan of learning from mistakes. I don't want to remember the same thing over and over again. And so I like to debrief events when we're done so we can make it better next time. But not everyone, I've noticed, appreciates my laser focus on what we can do better. In my previous church, we were gathering after the Christmas Eve worship services, and I had this running list of things I had written down of what we could do better next year. You know, we needed a parking lot team next year because the parking experience was draining people of their Christmas cheer before they got to the worship service. Our exterior signage needed to be better for our guests, and very importantly, the interior signage needed to get the guests to the bathroom, and that was kind of confusing. The worship service, a bit too long. People were bored by the end. And we needed like 30 more minutes in between the services because that would help the parking lot. And that's when one of the other staff members interrupted me. He had this like pained look on his face. There was a mix of wounded and incredulous. And he asked, well, was there anything we did well? Whoops, forgot that part. I had already forgotten all of those things just a week later. But that question, that desire to hear what went well, not just everything we could do better next time, that is a prime example of the love language, words of affirmation. Ever since that moment, I've had to change my debrief process to ask three things in order. What were our hits? What were our misses? What could we do better next time? Hits, misses, next times, in that order. Because without that, I would jump right to the misses and next times every time. And so if you have someone in your life who appreciates, who experiences love by hearing words of affirmation, make sure you focus on and notice the hits. Don't forget to tell them with real, live, actual, spoken, audible words what went well. Tell them how you appreciate them. Tell them. Our text today encourages us to outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, go out of your way to praise people and show them respect. Dole out the credit, don't hoard it for yourself. And so who in your life could use a little dose of praise? Who hasn't heard thank you in a while from you? Today is our music dedication Sunday, and I intentionally put words of affirmation on this Sunday because singing is one of the most common ways that we worship, and many, many songs and hymns are about praising God for some aspect of who he is or what he has done. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Do you hear those words of affirmation toward God? Or how about, this one? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. You know the next part. How great thou art, how great thou art. You hear telling God how great he is. That's words of affirmation. That's telling God I love you. Or how about, fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, Son of God and Son of Man, Thee will I cherish, Thee will I honor, Thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Cherish, honor, joy, those are words of affirmation. Those are ways that we tell God, tell Jesus, tell the Holy Spirit that we love them. Now, I love singing those words of affirmation. Personally, prayer, not so good at praying those words of affirmation, but I can sing them with gusto. And so when I worship best by singing, not even listening, but by singing. But maybe you do worship best by listening, or maybe you worship best by speaking aloud your prayers. Or maybe you worship best by thinking your prayers in dialogue with God. There are a lot of ways to apply words of affirmation to our worship and to our relationship with God. So do you know, personally, your most life-giving way to worship God? How do you best praise God? Our first text today said, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. a sacrifice of praise. That means praising God even when you don't feel like it, even if things aren't going well, even if you're not feeling super praisey today. How do you best affirm and praise God? If you're a singer, then sing. If you're a listener, then listen. If you are a prayer, then pray. Let God know about the hits, the reasons to celebrate, the reasons you appreciate God, not just the misses and the things you wish God would do for you. Sisters and brothers, I bet I'm not the only one who jumps to the misses and forgets to speak the hits aloud. So don't forget the hits. Don't forget the praise. And don't forget the words, the real, live, actual, spoken aloud, audible words of affirmation. I want to invite you to take about the next minute or so thinking of one person in your life who could use some affirmation. Think about a literal person and decide when you're going to tell them this week, before we see each other again. I'll ask you about it next week. Before we see each other again, who are you going to tell a word of affirmation? What are you going to tell them? When are you going to tell them this week? If we got in that habit, I think the world would be a little bit better place. And so I'm going to give you a minute or so to think of that person, to think of that praise, and think of the appointment to share it. Since it's Music Dedication Sunday, I'll give you, for that minute, I'll play through the first verse of our next hymn, Blessed Assurance, before turning it over to the real musicians up here. Who are you going to give words of affirmation this week?